The Old Testament reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of disbelief. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. There is an Episcopal priest in New York City named Jacob Smith who tells the story of a couple who visited the church a few Sundays. And after a few visits, one Sunday morning, this couple requested to interview him as part of their process of choosing a new church home. And this is the question that they asked Jacob Smith. "What does your church have to offer us?" Well, Smith paused, trying to think on his feet, and he answered, "We offer an answer to the question of death and eternal life." And Smith said, "I kind of liked my answer." I thought it was pretty good. But the husband of this couple responded, "Well, sure, but we're looking for something more practical. Every one of us, until we hear and understand the gospel, is looking for something practical from religion. Until we finally grasp the gospel, we're satisfied with news we can use. For example, we love sermons with titles like 8 Ways to Be a Better Friend, or What Do You Need to Do to Go to Heaven? We love stuff like that. And I know some of you are thinking, gee, those sound like great sermons. Believe me, I understand the appeal of going to church and being told what I need to do to improve myself. In fact, in my 20s and early 30s, I attended the biggest church in Washington, Oregon, or Idaho. And every Sunday, along with thousands of people, I looked forward to hearing what I needed to do to be successful. Successful in my social life, in my marriage, in my career, and in my religion. I went to church every week anxious to learn what I needed to do to gain God's favor and help. And here's why. I was a lot like this young man in our gospel lesson this morning. The young man who approached Jesus and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" As if to say, "Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it." Well, Jesus responded by asking him about the commandments, and the young man replied with confidence, "Teacher, all these I've kept since my youth." And the young man was sure that that would please Jesus. After all, that's what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? Keeping the law? Being good? That's what it's about, isn't it? Well, actually, no, it can't be. How can you be good? Jesus just said, no one is good but God alone. Meaning, no matter how hard you try to keep God's law, you're going to fall short. Which is why what Jesus said next crushed the young man in the story. It squashed him like a bug. Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Jesus told him what he needed to do. But Jesus' words didn't encourage him at all. In fact, they condemned him and discouraged him. They crushed him because the young man couldn't do what Jesus told him to do. He couldn't keep God's law. You can't either. You know, this certainly isn't the only place where Jesus presents the impossible demands of God's law. In Matthew 5, he said, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose a hand than to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to be maimed than thrown into hell. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Impossible. Theologian Gerhard Forty wrote this: "As human beings, we seem bound somehow to think of God's law as a kind of ladder to heaven. we more or less assume, without really thinking about it, that the law was given as a way to climb up to God, as a way to obtain salvation and eternal life. That's how the law was presented to me as a young man in the huge church I attended. Keeping the law was presented as the way to get everything I ever wanted. Success in this life and salvation in the next. But that message crushed me because it didn't take long to realize I couldn't keep God's law. So I pretended to be someone I'm not. And I sank into despair. Here's the point of the story of the wealthy young man who asked Jesus what he must do to go to heaven. The point is, we don't get to heaven by keeping God's law. And that's a good thing, because none of us keeps it. As offensive as this sounds to some of you, we're not even capable of keeping God's law. That's why God's law condemns you. It doesn't save you. Then what must we do to go to heaven? You yourself can't do anything. You need a Savior, someone external to you, to intervene on your behalf. Not to help you as if you contribute anything to the effort, not to give you a boost up the ladder, but someone to put you on his back and carry you the entire way. You know, one of the things that's made the Alcoholics Anonymous model so successful over the years is that the first step requires you to acknowledge that knowing what to do won't help you. You've known what to do for years. Stop drinking. The problem is you don't. You can't. You've got to let God do it, or it's just not going to happen. The same is true with going to heaven. You don't do it. You don't even contribute. You can't. You have nothing to offer. Look at the facts. God demands righteousness. You have none. So the perfect righteousness of Jesus is imputed, given to you. God demands faith. You can't conjure that up on your own. So God gives you faith as a gift. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God demands repentance. And even though earlier this morning, just a few minutes ago, we said that we sincerely and heartily repent, the truth is our words exaggerate. Yet God accepts your inadequate repentance as from one who is already forgiven and accepted and loved, one who's been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. But relax and receive the gifts of Christ and be at peace. Christ died for you, not the other way around. This is not your work. It's the work of God, who accepts you and loves you and will never leave you or forsake you. Your future is secure with Him in this world and in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for us in giving us Christ Jesus to die for us and secure a place in heaven for all those who have been given faith and received faith in Him. Lord, cause what you have done to fill us with gratitude toward you. And because you have done it and we have not, cause it also to fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.